on radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Racing Pulse.
Great to have your company on this Tuesday. A little later in the program, we're going to catch up with Lee Mottershead. We'll get his full review of what was a stunning Epsom Derby weekend. The Epsom Oaks, of course, dominated by Frankie Dettori and the Nathan O'Brien winning his ninth. We'll also get his lay of the land in regards to Royal Ascot, because the Aussies are flying out very soon over there, and it could be a very winnable couple of sprint races. A little later, Scotty Gullen will give us the latest in regards to footy. There's plenty to talk about there, especially with Jordan Dugowie. Ethan Brown, as I said, will also join me live in the studio. But right now, time to catch up with Benny Spall, who's helping us out with the news segment today. Matty Stewart with a day off, and it is great to catch up with Ben from racing.com. How are you, Ben?
Absolute pleasure, Michael. Some big shoes to fill here for Matty.
Big shoes, big pants, everything really. We've been speaking about the really sad situation over in Singapore, and for all of those people involved, it is going to be a tough transition. And as Michael Clements spoke to us a little bit earlier about, he's got a fear now that the industry will just fall in on itself, that everyone's going to try and get out as soon as they can because there is no future there. So it could have far-reaching ramifications, we know, for those who are involved. But I wonder whether we'll see an influx of participants who want to come to Australia as well, Ben.
Yeah, the flow-on effect of this will be really interesting, Michael. And as you say, October 2024 is when racing is set to conclude in Singapore, which will be the 100th running of the Singapore Gold Cup. But given that they now have a deadline, you wonder whether trainers and jockeys are now starting to already plan their next moves. And I can tell you, having spoken to Matt Hyland this morning, that he's already fielded some phone calls from some Singapore-based riders inquiring about becoming a rider here in Victoria. And it may be too early to tell. There are four current Australian-based or Australians that are licensed in Singapore, and there's also two Australian-born jockeys riding in Singapore at the moment. But as far as the jockeys are concerned, and this is one of the impacts that it could have, and as you say, now that a deadline's put in place, how many are actually going to be left there when that October 2024 mark is met? And I suppose it does go to show you, speaking of Matty as well, that Australian racing is seen on the global stages as flourishing. It's Michael, in the space of only, you know, a few hours after the announcement, Matt was already fielding calls from some Singapore-based riders, which I suppose then brings into question, as Matt was saying, does there need to be a potential criteria so that the market doesn't become flooded for the jockeys and the riding ranks that we have here? I know that the VJA have put a criteria to RV in the past, and we've only heard in recent weeks and months, on the back of the success of Damien Lane in Japan, the stringent sort of criteria that they had to become a licensed jockey in Japan. So it'll be really interesting to see how this space plays out from the jockeys, but also what those trainers are going to do and where those horses are going to end up as well.
Yeah, that's a big thing, the horses. How are they going to repatriate 700 horses from the industry over there in that time space? And we know there's a lot of expats, Dan Maher, Stephen Burridge, Shane Barchester, as well, that are over there. So will those Aussies want to come back home over here? How much room is there for trainers if they want to come back? And for the jockeys, where may they go? There may be some industry participants over there who can make the transition, which would help with some of the shortages that we're hearing from a staffing point of view, and maybe track riders as well. So, look, there may be some upside locally here if that can all be worked out. But for those who live over there in Singapore, there is no upside whatsoever. It's just a shattering announcement that was made yesterday. We'll continue to follow it as well. Speaking of jockeys, Craig Williams, he's planning to head back to Ukraine again.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Michael. Of course, this has been a little bit of a regular occurrence for Craig Williams and the team, if you like, that he takes over with him. And his return to Ukraine is imminent following the Brisbane Carnival commitments. We know that the great work that he has done over there, and he's looking to do that again with the medical and trauma and survival kits. But the race industry has actually helped fund, which has been a terrific way to help with the battle that we've got going on there, that Craig is so strongly aligned with through his wife, Larissa. And, I mean, I know it's fascinating, Michael. Every time that Craig goes over it, he's just so so hard to believe that a lot of the jockeys will go on European summer holidays and take a break and freshen up for the spring. And Craig continues to go to Ukraine. And I think it was only the last time that he went, Michael. It really sort of struck home how dangerous it can be. I remember speaking to Willow, and the accommodation that he was staying in 24 hours after he left was bombed and wiped out. So it can't be underestimated that the huge risk and putting himself, you know, right amongst the thick of it to try and help and what he's so passionate about, which is why we all love Willow. But, you know, the risks that are associated with that as well. But, yeah, Willow's going to return to the Ukraine in the coming weeks on the back of the Brisbane Carnival to, you know, that will be his break from the riding ranks as he prepares for the spring.
It's just amazing what he and his wife Larissa have been doing for the sad situation, which incredibly is still no end in sight over in Ukraine. Well done to Craig Williamson. If you want to jump and help donate, jump on Craig Williams's his jockey website. All donations there, 100% go to the Fighting Fund and all of the good work that they are doing. So make sure if you've got anything spare, you can do that. Speaking of travelling, a much nicer place to travel to is Royal Ascot, and the Aussies are not far away from heading over there, Benny.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The plane leaves tonight with Artorias, Cannonball and Coolangatta. So it's an important cargo to get to Royal Ascot. Of course, we saw those horses go through their paces in that Flemington jump out last week. A lot has been spoken about, particularly the Coolangatta story about Ozzie Kerr and John O'Neill and the like that get their opportunity to head over with a first Royal Ascot runner. But maybe the one that has been forgotten, Michael, is Will Bourne, who, of course, is the bloodstock manager at Kiramar Racing, and he's the son of Butch Bourne, a Seymour trainer, which will be very familiar to your listeners. But the great story is that he actually gifted his mother, if you don't mind, how's this for a birthday present, a share in Coolangatta. So he picked her out as a yearling. I spoke to Will yesterday. He said, I wasn't in love with her, but she went for $280,000, which was about the sales average. He said he wouldn't have gone overly much further for her. Picked her out as a yearling. They gave her a little bit of a jump out, a quick little breeze up not long after when she returned. And John O'Neill was inviting some people to come in. Will saw the door ajar to get his mother involved, and they're all heading over. So Butch and his and Will's mum, Deb, are already over there on a European holiday. Will is heading over with his older sister next week. So a great opportunity for the Bourne family. I love Will's response. He said, when I told her I was giving her the share, her words were, great, so you're giving me a bill every month. But fair to say, the ledger's evened up along the journey.
There's no doubt. Talk about a favourite son with what Coolangatta's been able to do. And Matty Hill is heading over there as well. So we're going to get to hear Matty Hill's dulcet tone calling all the action at Royal Ascot as well.
Yeah, exactly right. Matty's called in 13 countries. How remarkable is that? So he's named this as a bucket list item, and I can exactly see why. For those that have gone to Royal Ascot and been fortunate, such as myself, I'm sure you'll have an absolute blast calling there. So Matty's going to call on racing.com the first four races each day over the 5 days. Really looking forward to the opportunity. It's an interesting one. They all sort of call on an open platform next to each other. You can almost see and hear the other international callers at Ascot. So it'll be great to have Matty heading over, but also getting to hear his race calls as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He's a freak, one of the best in the world. Important morning out at Caulfield as well, because they've had the first horses gallop over the new totally refurbed main Caulfield track, and I know they had a good look at the Heath inner track as well. And Jamie Mott's one of those jockeys who was in action. He joins us this morning to give us a first hand report. Morning, Jamie, how are you?
Yeah, good, Fogger. Thanks, mate, for having me.
Mate, what was your first impression of first of all, the refurbed main Caulfield track this morning?
Yeah, really impressed. It's in fantastic order. It felt really good underfoot, and it looks magnificent as well.
I think it's about 7 months since they've been there, so no doubt we'll be looking forward to getting back there, which I think the first meeting's on the 24th of June, and then it'll go back to normal race meetings as usual throughout June and July with the major build-up to the Spring Carnival. So it's going to be good to get one of our feature tracks back. But there's been a lot of discussion about the inner track, and I believe you had a walk around what's going to be known as the Heath track. What's your impressions of that as well?
Yeah, it does look really good. It's a very wide, spacious track. Obviously, the circumference is quite tight, but there's plenty of room on the track, and I think there won't be any 1,400-metre races, but they were saying this morning that there might be like an 1,800 from the course proper, that the outside course proper comes onto the inner track. So I think they're going to set it up really well. It looks in good shape, and, yeah, hopefully it's not too far away.
Do you think it'll race well? I know there were some concerns when it was originally mentioned of an inside track that it could be a bit tight for racing. Now that you've seen it and walked on it, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll race fine. No doubt it might favour horses on speed, which most of our tracks do anyway, but it looks nice and spacious. I think, I'm not sure what field sizes they're going to have, but it looks like they've got plenty of room to work with.
You've got a busy few days, as you always do. You're the machine of racing at the moment. You've got a good book of rides today. Is there one we should follow today, Jamie?
I picked one up in the first. I think it looks like it'll be a nice winning chance. Mitch Beer's horse.
Last ditch effort, yeah.
That's it, yeah. It looks my best chance today.
Good luck today, Jamie. Appreciate your time.
Good, mate. Thank you. Bye.
It's going to be exciting to see racing back at Caulfield in, what's it, the 24th. So we're 3 weeks away, Ben.
Yeah, exactly right. Timmy Gateman from racing.com was at those gallops this morning. Clayton Douglas, John McArdle and Tony Noonan took horses down. Jump outs on the course proper next Tuesday, and that's to give it the tick of approval to be returning to racing on the 24th of June. And that Heath track that Jamie mentioned there with some interesting comments, that's not set to be in play until April next year. The team are going to top dress that in the coming weeks and months and continue the preparations along for the inner track.
There's an interesting runner tomorrow that you've got in your rundown. Is Muhammad Dias going over the jumps tomorrow?
Have to look twice, Michael. The million-dollar man on the flat, but he most certainly is. I gave Nick Ryan a call yesterday. Rising 9-year-old, a 12-time winner, of course, on the flat. For his 59th start, he's going to make his jumps debut with Tommy Ryan in the saddle at Sale tomorrow. Nick said he's only had one runner over the jumps before. That was back in 2018, and the horse failed to finish. So he's hoping for a change of fortune. But what I will say is Muhammad Dias, and for those fellow trainers that were back in the Caulfield days and at Flemington, he has been known as a regular to be popped over the hurdles during his flat preparations to spark him up and keep him interested. We know that's a bit of an old-school training technique that many have used. So Nick sort of said that the horse has really been schooling for the best part of 4 or 5 years in preparation for tomorrow's run. He's had two hurdle trials in the lead-up. Nick admits to being a little bit nervous ahead of the race. Of course, Muhammad Dias was one of the very first yearlings he purchased. He's getting on in age that much now to really help, and he's really helped set Nick up and the foundations of his stable. Such a terrific earner. $2.90 favourite heading into tomorrow's jumps race. So, yep, you don't have to look twice. It is the Muhammad Dias we all know going over the sticks at Sale tomorrow.
All right, look forward to that. Speaking of good racing, we've got one of the big country carnivals this weekend, the three-day event at Swan Hill. Andrew Bensley's heading up for us. Racing.com will be all over it, as always. It is one of the great carnivals, and there's a few interesting horses and trainers heading up there.
Yeah, can't wait. I'll be heading up myself as well, Michael. So I think there's 5,000 or 6,000 punters expected across the 3 days. And I know accommodation, personally speaking, is hard to come by. But no, looking forward to Swan Hill. The noms for the Topaz came out yesterday. Diamonds from the Chris Beig stable. Gow for the Corstons. I know I spoke to Lindsay Smith as well recently. Sacred Palace will be his chance at trying to win back-to-back Topazes, having won it with Triple Missile last year. You mentioned interesting horses, interesting trainers as well, and that comes in the form of 25-year-old, only licensed by Racing Victoria last week, in Toby Lake, who's looking to make a quick impact as a trainer. He's father Stephen trains at Bendigo. He spent a lot of time at Shane Fleedner's as a youngster before heading down to Melbourne, learning his craft from Kira Maher and David Eustace. And speaking of Nick Ryan and Maha Madeus, Toby would have had a lot to do with that horse as he was assistant trainer for Nick Ryan for 5 years. So Toby's acquired 20 boxes on course at Bendigo. Of course, he was a former picnic jockey, and as someone who loves their picnic racing, he was a very good picnic jockey at that. We know that Clayton Douglas, Reese Goodwin, Matthew Brown, I even remember calling Michael Kent Jr. for a season or two, were all picnic jockeys who have gone into the foray of training horses. So Toby expects to have his first runner on either the Saturday or the Sunday. A couple of horses that he's got to start his training career include Graham Pope, who was a former Nick Ryan horse. And he's also got his hands on Zoist, who was a good sort of metropolitan class horse for the McAvoy stable. So as is the trend, I suppose, Michael, these days, the young trainers are sort of plying their craft with some tried horses to get them going and then sort of looking to build their business. Gavin Benchgood, a terrific example of that. So Toby Lake will be a new name in the form guide looking to make a mark at Swan Hill this weekend.
Looking forward to that. And we may be in the start of winter, but we're already looking forward to the spring and the Lexus Melbourne Cup this morning. The destinations will be announced for the Melbourne Cup Tour, which is back bigger and better than ever.
Comes around way too quickly, doesn't it? So, yeah, I'll be out there this morning. So this is the 21st annual Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour. Visited 590 destinations in that time. Can you believe that? It's an enormous number. Another 41 are going to be unveiled at Flemington this morning. But across seven countries and three continents, and he's part of the largest tour yet. So stay tuned. I'm sure there's going to be some bucket list destinations on there, of course, for the Melbourne Cup to do its thing and be taken to the people this year.
It is one of the great initiatives, the Melbourne Cup Tour for the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Benny, you've been outstanding. Appreciate your help once again, and we'll get you back soon.
Good to catch up, Michael. Cheers.
Ben Spall from .com.